Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun, captivating show that discusses the best in arts, publishing, entertainment, and politics. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have an action-packed show for you. First on tap, we have the well-respected, and I'm going to say well-desired, I'm going to put it out there, Travis Cure. You have seen him on print. He is a social media phenomenon, and now he is part of the number one, can I say it again, number one scripted television show. So we would like to welcome to Read You Later actor Travis Cure. Travis, welcome to Read You Later.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you for having me.
It's a lot going on. It's a lot going on in your world, and that's what we're going to talk about. Because, honey, Barbie is a hot mess. Oh, my God. He is complex. He is dynamic. And we never know what he will do from one moment to the next. So let me ask you, as an actor, how do you prepare for the right amount of realism and emotion that a character like Barbie brings to the table?
Okay. Well, for one, I'm learning to be a little more about research, you know. So once I get my character breakdown, and then I kind of understand and get myself familiar with who the character is, that's when the research thing come on. And a lot of times, and there's no better research than experience, you know. So when I'm reading the script and I'm seeing what it is that he's doing and the things that he's kind of have going on, you know, you kind of ask people, you know, who's been in these situations. And, you know, I have my fair share of, you know, dealings with women. And, you know, I have a lot of older guys that are friends.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So you know, you kind of ask them, you know, what's your take on the situation? Or I remember you told me about this. So tell me about that. How did you react? You know, and a lot of them, you know, they done some crazy things. So it's like, okay, I think I'm gonna go that route. I think you was crazy. That was a crazy move. But Bobby crazy. So Bobby gonna definitely use that right there. I'm gonna do that. I'm just gonna pop up
you're
and have that look
it.
On my face. I'm gonna use that definitely.
Oh,
yep.
You gonna use that? So let me ask you.
I'm gonna
in
use
your
that.
Research hint. In your research, quote unquote, what is the craziest scenario that you have come across in your quote unquote research?
All right, so I'm not gonna drop no names, but there's a situation where one of my guy friends kind of got caught doing his little thing, and you know, when his lady decided she was gonna kind of break it off, you know, he was like, no, you're not about to do that. You know, and you know, he was like, and then I asked him, like, man, you know, what did you do? He was like, man, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of just went over there. You know, she wasn't answering her phone, so I just kind of showed up, and I'm like, what? And what happened? You know, and he was like, well, you know, things were kind of heated, and she wouldn't open the door, and you know, I kind of got in my feelings a little bit. I had been drinking and these kind of things, and I'm like, bro, you psycho in real life. You know?
Yeah, he took
but,
it to a whole different level.
Yeah,
okay.
You know what I mean? So that kind of stuff, it motivated me to bring this character to life. You know, it's just some real life situations, man. Because you know, when you on set and you doing your thing, it's real life. That ain't no pretend. We gonna make this thing real. You know what I mean? And I even got a little bit of feedback from her too. I was like, how did you feel when you did that? She was like, you know, I was afraid. You know, but I kind of liked it a little bit too. But you know, and I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. That's a whole different story, you know, but I could definitely use that because I could see that. Because a lot of the people love Bobby for those kind of reasons. They're like, you crazy, but you sexy too at the same time.
I like it.
Well,
I can understand. And you know what? You know what that means? That means a whole lot of people are encountering Bobby and they like it, which is a good thing for ratings. I don't know about good thing for the relationship, but it's a good
thing
for ratings.
In the relationship, right.
Ratings. Yeah. So, Bless you. So how are you able to stay in that moment when Bobby is in his hedonism, when he's in his crazy point, when he's going from psycho to lover to almost stalker? How are you able to stay in each moment? Because they seem to all require a certain level of intensity, be it craziness, be it revenge, be it passion. How are you able to stay in those moments? Do you take yourself away from the cast, away from your day-to-day to prepare for each of those moments?
So for me, my whole thing is, when my acting coach can vouch for this, shout out to Bruce Blackshear class down here in Believer Studio in Atlanta. He can vouch for me. So with preparing for your for what it is to come, you really gotta kind of put yourself in these situations for real. So I would tell. So when me and her we would kind of do our thing. In my mind, I'm telling myself, I love this woman. She don't know it yet, but I love you. And I'm giving her these stares, and I'm looking into her eyes, and I'm making this situation absolutely real for me. So when it comes time to do our thing, it comes out naturally, because I have been telling myself this entire time, I love her. You are mine. I don't care that you're married.
Now, you know what?
I don't care what you say.
It looked natural to me. Look, it looked natural to me. I don't know about anybody else.
It felt natural.
It is looking natural to me.
Felt,
that's all I can say.
It felt natural. It sure it felt natural. I was like, oof, wait a minute now. Okay, let me come back. And that's usually one of the hardest things to do as a character too. That's usually one of the hardest things in acting to do. A lot of the people, you know, they'll go in, and sometimes it's hard for them to come out. Like, I've heard instances where people will play psychopaths or killers, and they will go into it, and then, you know, sometimes they would have to get therapy after that or have to get help, because they be so far in and making this thing real and putting it in their DNA that I am this person, you know. So when they come off a set or when it's time to go home, it's like, okay, I gotta come out of this. The work is done. You can go back to being yourself now. But you know, when you an artist, man, you be so consumed and so wrapped up in your craft that sometimes that's what it takes to come out of it. Like, I know in acting class sometimes we have one girl, she does her thing, man, and yeah, she, you know, after she does something real, real heartfelt, she's like boo hoo crying. I'm like, wow, you know. But they made that situation real. This ain't pretend. This is real life. She tapped into that place, and that's what it has to do, because the audience, like, if you ain't tapped in and you don't have those looks in your eyes and you don't have that demeanor and it's not sinking in your heart, the audience ain't going to feel it neither, because if it ain't real for you, it sure ain't real for us, because they're going to be looking like, he ain't for real.
Exactly.
He just
what I was
saying.
Like,
you know, and that's the last thing you want. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes,
the chemistry that you have is very real. I mean, it shows, and you know what, if I didn't know, I would think that you actually perhaps had met the young lady previously, because the chemistry is so passionate and it's so striking.
Yes.
And as you say, you have watched, you know, we've all watched movies, and we thought, oh, wow, this is so intense. And then you found out that the two characters, the two actors who play the characters, they really don't even like each other. Then on the other
hand,
they don't
even like each other.
Yeah, they don't even like each other. But then again, we've seen
at all.
Also productions where you've seen that everything was forced, and you can feel that it was forced. So you do
you
have
can,
to tap
you
into
can feel
that.
It, yep.
And you mentioned
and it doesn't
two
feel
things.
Right. Yep.
It doesn't feel right. You mentioned two things. You mentioned craft, and you mentioned acting coach. And a lot of people think that you are an overnight sensation, and you do have a great social media presence. But as we are listening to you, you're also a person who is studying, and you are a scholar of your craft. How important is it to you, and how do you feel that it's important for other people also to be a student of their craft, if you will?
It's very important to me, because you have to always remain teachable and always accept that you're not perfect. Even if you are, you gotta put in your mind that you're not, because there's always room for improvement. You know, there's always room for improvement. And you gotta always tell yourself that you can be better. You know, your next performance should always be better than the same performance. It can't never be, okay, he's just one tone he's just kind of, you know, he was the same in the last movie. He was like, he acted the same in the last, because that's how you don't win. That's how you, the quickest way for you to get, you know, typecasted, or you won't get as many roles because the people are going to feel like you're not going to be able to carry this role. You got to almost be training Day Denzel and then turn around and be James Bond too at the same time. Those are two different dynamics, two different characters, two different lanes. That's left and right, day and night. You know, so having an acting coach and having the, and being in class kind of teach you to have that kind of range that you need. Because I know for me, one of my things is vulnerability. You know, vulnerability was always a hard thing for me to do, you know. And a lot of times when you get these roles, sometimes you're going to have to cry. You're going to have to make these things come true for you. So if you're not vulnerable and it comes time for you to be vulnerable and your character is being vulnerable, the whole scene is going to suffer because the person you're interacting with is in tears, she hurt, she crying, and you sitting there like, oh, it's fine. It's not going to, you're going to lose that, you're going to lose the feeling. Because when the people watching the movie, it's not about what they see, it's about what they feel. You know what I mean? And that's what makes everything come to life. So if you lose the feeling in it and you're not feeling and your heart ain't in it and you're not there, it's going to suffer. So with me lacking those skills and that vulnerability, I need to be in class. You know, just because I made it on Tyler Perry's show and I'm making decent money and everything is good, I'm not done. I still got to go to class. I still have to, because practice makes perfect. I still have to practice. Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. You know, and if you're a master of your craft, even masters have coaches and they do their coaching thing. You can't be, you got to remain coachable and teachable, and you got to stay in class because there's always room for improvement. The second you think you're done,
I tell you,
or the second you think you're perfect,
you think you're done,
somebody going to come
really
and beat
done,
you up.
Exactly.
Oh, you're done.
And
yeah, somebody going to come right
that,
on up
that's the teachers
and
right
take
there.
Your spot.
That message preaches right there, because a lot of people, I think, feel like they get to a certain plateau. And, you know, I'm such a nerd, so I read a lot of diverse different things, and I love documentaries. And it was interesting to me that Bill Gates considered Warren Buffett as a mentor. And it's interesting to me that when I read and study different people, talk about Beyonce, she has a vocal coach, and different other actors who we would consider to be master craftsmen.
Up
master
craft,
actors,
still getting coached,
always
still making
coach.
Mistakes.
So that's a lesson, because sometimes people think that they've reached a certain area, and I don't need coaching, I don't need teaching. But you preach right there. Always be teachable, always be coachable, always be ready to learn. And speaking of learning,
always.
Now, you know, I know that you did this movie called Deadly Sexy, and I happen to know the executive director, just a little. So I think that she's online. My switchboard is lit like the first, like Christmas tree. But I think she's online. Iris, are you there?
I am.
Hey, Iris.
Hey, Travis.
Hey, Iris. Hey.
How are you, darling?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am doing great. I see you are doing your thing. I am so proud of you, Travis.
Yes,
I really am.
I thank you so much. You know, when you work hard and you put God first, things start happening. You know.
Amen.
And you work. And you do work hard. I am here to attest to you honing in on your craft. The way that you worked for us this time last year, it was really just this time last year.
Can you believe that was a year ago?
I know. Yes. I
was looking like, I felt like I had just left Virginia. I just left Virginia.
Yes.
For 12 days, in Virginia, I felt like I just left.
Yes.
Hold on for a second, Aaron. I told Charles I was going to put him in the hot seat.
Okay.
But I'm going to ask you one question. It's a little hot seat. We'll talk to you. So I'm going to put him in the hot seat. But I want you, Travis, what did you learn on the set of Deadly Sexy that helped you prepare for the role that you're in at this point?
Okay. Well, I learned to condense my scene work, you know, because although you do have a lot of lines, there's a way you can still get your point across without having to say everything that's on the paper.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, I've learned that preparation is the most important, and that chemistry is everything as well. You know, because that was my first time meeting Sadie Blake. You know, shout out to her. But you know, had we not hung out and had we not met each other, our chemistry would have suffered, and we were like the two leads. So if our chemistry was off, there wouldn't have been no movie. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I learned that the chemistry was very, 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 very important. And then at the same time, too, you got to be able to be teachable. Like I said, you know, the director would have come in and make a change. You got to be able to make that thing happen, you know, and still be in character. You know,
that's
and then
true.
I also learned too that Virginia is extremely cold. But that was my first time there, and I almost died. You know what I mean? I was like, oh no, oh no.
Oh, yes, kind of a very diverse climate. You know, like it then like Friday is supposed to be 20, so it's a diverse climate. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Now, our
segment
for a segment that you have for Travis.
Yes, I do. This is what I want people to know about Travis, the man. Travis came in, what was it, I don't even think it was a full 2 weeks before.
Maybe it wasn't a full 2 weeks. Yeah, like a week and a half.
Yeah, and Travis was our lead male character. And he came in. He learned that role. He studied that role, and he was able to bring Reese Anthony to life in that short period of time.
Yes.
I mean, he came every morning, until from sometimes
and
sunrise
evening.
to work. Yes, prepared to work every time. So I have
ready.
It does not surprise me at all, Travis. It does not surprise me that you are making big moves. And I'm going to shout out to Mr. Perry. Congratulations on him your potential and seeing what it is that you could do, because you are a dynamic actor. And I expect you to become that super, superhero character that we discussed.
I'm working on it. You know I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
I'm going to see it. I know I'm going to see it because you are a very determined young man, and it is going to happen. And I just want to tell you how much we love you here in Virginia.
I love you too,
Earth.
Oh, my goodness, in the cold. You know, I got a new coat, so, you know, I'm dying to get out there and stay warm. I got a new coat. y'all taught me a very valuable lesson. You need you a coat.
Yes.
You need a coat.
What's the sunshine say?
Not a jacket. You need a coat.
Look, you need a coat. But Jesus loves us. You know, when love needs to cling a little closer. The coat is make you cling a little closer. Not the sunshine say.
Yes.
Love
you need you a coat. Not a jacket. A coat. Thank you, Iris.
A coat.
Oh, my Iris. Oh, my goodness. My heart is so warm.
Now, I want to, like, and we've been mentioning, like, different characters. Now, do you have any aspirations getting behind the scenes and doing some work behind the scenes?
You know, so I think I have aspirations of doing maybe being in production, producing a little bit, because I start to notice sometimes when, you know, I do get the script and then, I read the actions. You know, sometimes I'm like, I want to change the action, or sometimes let me try, but I don't really try. I just kind of do. And if I do something in the moment, sometimes it's not even what the action was in the script. So that just kind of lets me know, like, okay, well, maybe I could produce something, you know, somebody would have write, cause I'm not much of a writer, but if they would have write it, maybe I can, you know, see something and be like, okay, well, maybe instead of going to the window on this line, take a second, stay there, you know, stand still and look this way or something like that. And I think that's just my producing, that producing in me that lets me know that, hey, maybe one day I can either produce or maybe even direct. You know what I mean? Because I've been on set long enough
direct,
and I've seen things and I know how things work, you know. So I can really see myself kind of directing, you know. Not anytime soon, but I really think I can.
Not anytime soon. I don't know, but you know what? You know, we were talking about this last year at this time. you were in Virginia and you were at the mm-hmm. Deadly Sexy movie premiere. And with the year, mm-hmm. I remember when I went to Atlanta, I saw your face with David all on the billboards, all up there. So, you know, life changes so quickly within a year. So who knows, next year you may be coming back on Read Your Letter talking about a movie, a short film, a web series, anything that you want to produce and direct. I do believe that if you dream it, you write it down, and as you said earlier, you put God first in your being, he will just give you the vision, he'll give you the provision, and he will give you the will to implement. So, Tiny, don't sell yourself short. Now, speaking of the Deadly Sexy premiere, I was able to meet a very awesome young woman, your mother. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, Travis' mother looks like she literally could be his sister. We were all like, okay, so we're being catfish. This cannot be Travis's mother.
This cannot
be. And she was so down to earth. Let me tell you what I know about Travis. We know he's very humble, just being on set with him, but he was very respectful. He put his mother and his manager, Christy, first each and every time. He was considerate of them, respectful of them, and when his mother gave him a command, I'm not even going to say she asked him to do something, when she gave him a command, he responded. And that showed me what I've seen of him on set, being respectful. I knew where it came from, because I always believe that a person respects their mother and they're very loyal to their team and somebody that you can rock with. So how the jewels that your mother implanted in you, how are they manifesting themselves as you see yourself going to different levels in life?
Well, you know, I grew up with my mother towards the beginning of my high school year. My dad was around for a little bit, then he kind of left, but you know, he was still kind of around a little bit. But for the most part, you know, my mom raised me, so a lot of things that I picked up as a man was something that she taught me, but not nothing that she showed me, because she couldn't show me as a woman, but she could tell me, you know, okay, well, for example, like, you supposed to open the door or something. She didn't open it like you need to open the door. She was like, well, as a man, you supposed to open the door, you know. Because actually, my mom taught me how to change a tire as well. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, how the heck do you know how to change a tire? But she taught me how to change a tire. Exactly. So, you know, as I got older, you know, and she would let us make a lot of the mistakes. Like, she could easily be like, you know, I don't recommend that, or I don't suggest that. However, you know, she would say that, but not really be like, do it like this. She would make a suggestion, or she would, in other words, she would let me bump my head so many. There's so many times where she would be like, I would be like, Mom, what you feel about this? And you're like, well, I don't agree with it, but if that's what makes you happy, then I would do it and come back and be like, Mom, why you ain't tell me that? She's like, well, I didn't want to. You had to find out for yourself. You know, so I applaud her on that so much. And then she would never, ever say, I can honestly say my mom never, ever, ever, ever said to this day, I told you so. Never, not once. When she could have, because I done gave her so many reasons to say, I told you so, but she never did it. She was just like, okay, well, it happened, or this is the case. You know, how are we going to fix it? Or how are we gonna do it? You know, and she's always been behind me, and she always supported me in just about everything I did. Even if I could count on one person to be in that crowd, if ain't nobody now, other person showed up, that lady going to be right there. And that was really the only thing I really needed, man. You know what I mean? So it's like I applaud my mom, because she filled it. She stepped in the gap and held that thing down, and she never down-talked about my dad. You know, even though he wasn't there, she never said nothing bad about him. You know, she always said, call him, even though he don't call you, even though he might not answer the phone, still call him, you know, still try to go see him. Let me call him and see if he going to, you know, tell him he need to answer the phone, because you calling. But she is my number one fan. Like, if there ain't nobody else tuned in, that lady is tuned in and telling all her friends at work. She even pulled up to the store and be like, hey, my son is on TV at the gas station. Hey, my son is on TV. Y'all need to make sure y'all watch BET on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. All right, thank you, ma'am. Let me get 15 on pump 6. Y'all make sure y'all listen. That's my mama.
look,
y'all make sure y'all watch. That's what they do, mama. They go hard. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of people, like, when I put your the flyer up about this interview, and they were talking about drugs, and I was like, you know what? One thing about you, you have such a humble spirit, and if they ever met you, not Travis, social media, not Travis, the actor, but the person, they will meet a genuine, humble individual. So I want to say, I said it earlier when we were talking privately, but I am so proud of you, and I think this
Thank
is only the beginning. And I expect for you, honey, to shoot all the way up to the sky. And anything that we can do on our end to support you, you know you have it. So I want to thank you for coming on,
Jupiter,
and taking time out your very schedule. And once again, my condolences to your family, and I hope that this next holiday season is bright and spoil that baby.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Cheryl. Thank you for having me, man. You know I got a space in my heart for my Virginia folks. You know, y'all
all
trusting
right
me
now.
with the Reese Anthony role, and I'm so proud of that. Thank y'all so much.
And you did the same. You
Thank
have
you.
A wonderful evening.
Thank you. Thank you. I will. Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to switch gears. And, you know, a lot of us at this time of year, when we're talking about the holiday season, a lot of us, we're not connected to certain people because of this thing called forgiveness. Sometimes we're not able to forgive, and it leaves us in a place of not being able to heal. So we have two wonderful ladies who are in the process of casting this documentary about forgiveness. And they also have this wonderful retreat. So I want to bring on to Read You Later, let Harrell and Dr. Norma Lawson. Are you there? Ladies, are you there?
We are certainly here.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for coming on Read You Later. How are you doing?
We are
Thank
always
you.
Honored. Thank you for having us.
Yes, I told you, it's a busy show, honey. So, look, they said grab your seat, listen fast, and get all this wonderful information. So, lady, what is the premise? I know you have a retreat. To me, this is a movement. You all have the workshops, you have the documentary, and you have the retreat. So what is the premise of this whole concept of forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness? We know what forgiveness means to us, but as you're leading this movement, what does it mean to you, and what is the purpose that you hope to bring to other people? Either one of you can take the lead.
Well, for me, especially, we're talking about, of course, we are talking about a movement, but it is the healing of the nation. We are looking at those people who are experiencing the bitter root of unforgiveness and trying to make sure that we can move them from that position of unforgiveness and bitterness to a position of freedom and peace, and which then I believe will bring a peace and calmness within our world, within our families, within our homes, within our churches, within our neighborhoods, once we experience that particular type of peace and freedom.
Now,
wasn't
that excellent?
That was excellent. You know, honey, you know, first lady, she's late with the birth.
Honey, she just took it on in. I was going to jump in wherever I could, but she covered
well,
it.
You always have something to add.
You know what?
Yes.
One of the things I do want to add about unforgiveness, because the reason why forgiveness is so important is because so many of us are rooted in unforgiveness. And so many times the unforgiveness, especially now around the holidays, a lot of people have experienced it. You can go on Facebook, you can talk to people, you can go on any type of Instagram where people are saying, I've made my own family. And usually that means that the family that they were born into, that there's been some type of issue. And so one of the things that I want to look at is when you forgive, we tend to believe forgiveness is for the other person, when in fact forgiveness is for you. And you have to love yourself enough to forgive so you can be free. Because when you don't get free, the bitterness begins to harden your heart, and what was a single issue becomes a multiple issue. And so when you were mad at one person, now you're mad at the whole world. Where you were feeling angst against one person. How many people see people get divorced and they're mad at that ex-spouse, but they've changed? The friends begin to go away, and you say, well, my friends went away because they didn't want to be with someone single. No, they went away because you're so angry.
Mm-hmm.
And your anger
that
turns inward.
Wants to
that's
you
that bitter root that she talked about, hardened heart. And I love what someone, a friend of mine, said, I hope you better, not bitter. And so can we take those past experiences and learn from them, see them as stepping stones to the next level versus seeing them as a period where I'm going to stop right here and stop living and I'm just going to drown in my pain. God doesn't want us to drown in our pain. God wants us to get up and move forward by his grace and by his mercy. And so what she's saying is true.
Be free.
Yeah, be free.
Be free. Realize that unforgiveness doesn't mean that you have to be ace buku or buddies with that person, but you need to love yourself enough to break those chains, because as you said earlier, we've all seen people who become bitter, who become hardened, and everything in their life. You can say, oh, what a wonderful day, and they say, well, I don't have to worry about it. Or, you know what, I think the sun is coming out, but it's being cloudy. You know, because everything in their life now has a negative connotation, and they don't realize that one seed now is painting the negative picture throughout their whole life. Now, I know that you ladies have in the work several projects. Let's talk about this documentary and how other people can become part of the documentary. So, Dr. Norma, can you expand a little bit about the documentary? And then I would like for Colette to tell us about how other people can become active participants in the documentary. So, Dr. Norma?
Well, the documentary is something that Colette and I decided that we would do that will help with this process of changing the world, or this movement towards changing the world, this movement of freeing the world or bringing freedom to people within the world. The best way that we could do that would be a documentary. And that would be that we would have a video, a show, it's something that we could take from place to place or TV or wherever so that people will be able to see and take part in this process of forgiveness. It is the best mechanism that we could determine to use that would get the broadest effect, the broadest impact.
Okay.
Because we are doing
retreats.
Yeah. Right. We're doing retreats. We're doing one-on-ones. I'm putting together some summits, workshops, you know, all those things. But with our goal of meeting the world, making this a global movement, then we needed a mechanism that would be able to go farther than what we can do on an individual level. And so that's where the documentary came in.
Now, do you see why I partnered with her? Do you see why I'm partnered with Dr. Norma? Because she just laid that out so beautifully. And what we're doing, and so plain, and what I love. And just to backtrack a little bit, when we met in Las Vegas, and we met and we spoke, and then someone had a workshop in March, a retreat.
Yeah.
I wonder who that was. That was you, LaShere.
I don't know.
And what was so awesome was in January, in my prayer time, God had told me, you will be dealing with forgiveness. And so over and over and over again, I was experiencing hurt in different relationships, and I was having to come up and forgive. I was having to struggle in forgiving. And so in the midst of all of that, we reconnected in March at your retreat, and later I got a phone call from her, and she said, I was praying about forgiveness, and God gave me you. And I immediately, she said, I want to do some things, and I immediately said, yes, because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so we know that God has already created the platform. We only need to follow his blueprint. And when we talk about the documentary, when we talk about the documentary, what we're saying is we're looking at Revelation 12:11, where they say, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so there are stories of forgiveness out there and how people overcame some of the most horrendous acts and some of the most hurtful issues in their lives and came up with love and came up forgiving. And some of those things can't just be talked about but have to be shown. They have to be illustrated for us to feel them. And so this documentary speaks to that. And so we're looking for people who want to tell their authentic stories, who want to tell their struggle, who want to share how they came out of the darkness into the light, who want to talk about they may have been chained to the pain, but they regained their selves in the midst of the trials. And so if that's you and if you're listening to this, please reach out to us. I'm Colette Harrell. I'm on Facebook, and she's Dr. Norma McLaughlin, and she's on Facebook. You can message us, and if you message us, we will give you the information to get in contact with us and how to email us. We're also on Facebook with our information, with our email information where they can contact us. So I'm looking forward to hearing the people come forth.
Now, what about people who perhaps don't even know that they need to forgive? I can recollect a meeting that I had a couple years ago, and someone was stating a portion of a selection of a book, a passage, and as they were presenting this book, it came crystal clear to many of us in this room, that this person still had not forgiven a particular individual, and I remember during the quote, I'm going to be a debate, I almost hate to say it, but during the quote, I had invited other people to attend, and it became a very lively discussion, and the person was adamant that they had forgiven this individual. So in your retreats, are you dealing with people who perhaps think that they're forgiven but still carrying that that hurt on their back, or still was like Erica Badu talk about bag ladies, are still carrying various bags? The retreat is in position to not only network, but also to heal and encourage and inspire women. Now I'll give it to Colette first.
You know, we have had such an awesome retreat, and it organically opened, and, of course, everything you do, you want to make the foundation prayer, so that's how we started. But what we found is that forgiveness is heavy, and a lot of times it becomes our new normal. We don't know we're carrying heaviness because we've been carrying it so long. And we have a curriculum. We have exercises. We have open discussion at a safe place, and the women have responded with open hearts. And if anyone at the beginning had any trepidation about opening their hearts and sharing, by the end of those 3 days, they are open, they are unloading, and they are getting free. And you may not get totally healed in 3 days, but the process has begun. And on our next retreat, we even have people coming back for the second time to finish.
Awesome.
So they've been doing the work,
awesome,
and now they're coming back to seal it. And so this is a journey for a lot of people, and they understand it's a process. We didn't get in it overnight, and we're not going to necessarily get healed overnight, but we are going to get healed because we're determined.
And I think a lot of people feel when they
when they attempt to forgive. Because sometimes, like you said, it's a process. So there are steps and levels to it, and they don't immediately feel that rush or the relief that, okay, it didn't work. So I'm going to start. So I'm going to go back to that dark place, and I'm going to continue to have their resentment. But what they don't realize is that it creates other forms of resentment, and it creates other spirits, and it creates other heartaches. And as you were saying, it multiplies. And then it multiplies, and they don't even understand the root of it, if you will. So, say, how would you speak to that woman who perhaps would love to attend your retreat, but may not feel that the retreat is for them because they aren't at that quote unquote place? How would you speak to that woman?
To those, that woman, and any particular person that I work with, coach, who tell me that they have forgiven everything, but yet and still, you can tell by their demeanor, their pain, their expressions that they still are experiencing that bitter root of something. That if you are a Christ follower, you are a Christian, the first thing you really need to do is get you and the Holy Spirit need to get together and have some prayer. And that prayer needs to consist of you asking the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance what is causing you that bitterness and that pain. What's causing a problem within your life? You need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what God would have you to know about forgiveness. Because obviously God is not pleased. You're not walking in His purpose. You're not walking and doing the things that you're doing because you're probably frozen in whatever state that you're in. You're not walking in your giftedness. You're not doing the things that He would want you to do. So you need to do some research within your own self, within your own soul, your own mind and heart to determine what's really going on. I guess you can call it a reality check with yourself, because when I've done this with ladies before, while we're just sitting there with our eyes closed, I mean, I can be a testimony because it happened to me. And I'll tell that little story briefly. It happened to me when I was talking about forgiveness in one of my Bible studies, the first time that I did that, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "Norma, you can't teach this because you have unforgiveness in your heart." And I went, "No, I don't."
Wow.
So I talked to him. "No, I don't have any unforgiveness. I've gone through all that. I can teach this." And he says, "Norma, no, you don't. Stop. Stop right now." And I'm going, I have nobody. I'm searching. I prayed. I had my morning prayer this morning, and I asked the Holy Spirit to reveal this to me. But then He came back to me. He said, "My chosen one," and you know when I get that, I'm going, mm-hmm. "Okay, what have I done? What? He said, "What about your brother-in-law?" And I go, oh.
He dodged out, didn't he?
That was he brought it to me. He brought it to me like a rushing wind. It was so strong. All I could do was sit there and cry because I knew the truth of that. And not only had I harmed myself in that, harmed my whole family in that. I mean, it was such an impact on my whole family, parts of my world, that I had lived within that and caused so much harm that I didn't even, well, I claimed I didn't realize it. But the way I talked about him,
wow.
The way I talked about him to his children about him, about my sister about him, I don't know how I was doing that. I'm looking back at how in the world did I do that, because that was such a hypocrite in talking and saying the things that I was saying to other people about what they need to do with forgiveness and how to live their life and how to live and walk into their gifts. So,
and that's what I like about
the Holy Spirit will bring that back to you.
It will bring it. We have a little over a minute. And I want to say to all my listeners that these women are not just talking the talk. As you see, they're walking the walk. And if you would like to join them on their journey, how can they connect with you, Colette, on Instagram or Facebook? How can they connect with you?
I'm going to say the easiest way is to message us on Facebook, and you can message Dr. Norma McLaughlin, or you can message me, Colette Harrell, and that's Harrell, and that's McLaughlin. And you can reach out to us, and we will be glad to touch base with you, and we can touch base with you whether you want to be in a documentary, whether you want to go on this walk of forgiveness, whether you like to join us on the retreat. We are here for any of your listeners.
And I can tell you, if you just want somebody to pray you down, pray you up and up and down inside, these two women are here for you, because I have called them each and every time. I'd like to thank everyone for chiming in. I'd like to thank Travis, Paulette, and Dr. Norma for their expertise. And from my heart to yours, read you later. Have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.